Well, thank you, Greg and team. And Tim, I was looking to see if I'd see angels there today, and then I didn't see them. And then I realized, well, no, they're there. I just can't see them. Angels are present with us as we worship. So great to have you here, whether in person or online joining us. Thank you for joining us. And let me just give a brief update with regards to our finances, where we're at after 11 months. If Nancy, we could put that slide up on the screen there, and you see that thus far you have given in 2021 $700,000 towards our mission. And so I want to thank you, Grace Point Church, for your incredible generosity in that way. And as you see there, we have 17% remaining to meet our budgeted income for this year. And I know in the month of December, there's lots of appeals that come for giving, probably every day in my inbox or snail mail. There's some appeal for money. And like you, I've got to discern who and where do I give money towards. You know, and for me, the criteria is really simple. I just say, are they sharing the gospel and are they doing good work? And then I will help fund those organizations. And as you consider to give in the month of December, I just invite you to consider the mission of Grace Point Church, as we are a church that's all about experiencing God, engaging our world together. And I just see that every week. I saw it last Sunday here after the service, as there were probably about 20 young adults that were just kind of lingering around here and chatting. And I thought, this is not the future of the church. This is the church. And I thought of it yesterday as here we had our family carnival. And how many were here for the family carnival? That was a great, wasn't a great time? And I saw how the youth had come early, the teenagers, to set up their stations and spent hours getting ready to bless the kids in KU and the families. And I thought, this is not the church of the future. This is the church of today. We are a church that's like a fleet of food trucks sent out on mission. And this week we had training for about 20 of us that participated in the training to go out to Abbotsford and to assist in the cleanup there. And this week we're sending a team out. Next week we're sending a couple teams out. And we are not just going to pray, although we do pray, but we want to do good. And so I invite you, as you consider your year-end giving, and some of you, this is the month you give in. Some of you, you can give extra. Some of you can give substantially, to consider the mission of Grace Point Church in your giving this year. So let's talk about angels now. Angels among us. And thank you, Tim, for sharing that story. And you know, with it being Christmas, how many have got your Christmas tree already set up? Who's got their Christmas tree? You've got your Christmas tree set up. All right. Well, why don't I just give you some chocolate? Hot chocolate bombs here. There you go for that. And those of you watching online, if you've got your tree up, go ahead and put that in the chat there. And I'll bring some hot chocolate bombs by there, you know. And as was mentioned, we've got our tree ornaments. You can pick that up here at the church. Or if you're not able to come to the church, or, you know, through the week or on Sundays, let me know. And I'll come by and deliver it, or have one of the staff come by and deliver it. You know, maybe an angel bringing an angel, you know. Won't you be shocked when Steve Baines comes by? Thought the pastor said an angel's going to come. Let's talk about Christmas peace this morning. Ozzy Osbourne from the band Black Sabbath. He was once being interviewed by Barbara Walters, and it was a time period where his wife Sharon Osbourne had been going through colon cancer. And the rocker had been turning to this drug of choice. He was discussing with Barbara Walters, and then he just kind of sighed in the interview and he said, "Man, I just need some serenity." Perhaps you feel that way. "Man, I just need some serenity, some peace these days." How is your peace level? See, for many of us, COVID has stolen so much of our peace, or other circumstances or other challenges in our lives have robbed us of peace. And we are not alone in feeling that. 2,000 years ago, at the first Christmas, the world was under siege. There was a brutal dictator by the name of Herod Antipas. And there was widespread slavery. Women were treated as objects. Probably 90-95% of the population lived in poverty. But into this ancient world of trouble, Jesus was born. God sent his son as a baby. And the angels announced the message of peace during the incarnation. A peace that's greater than circumstances. Because peace has to be an inside job. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, Luke chapter 2, it's a well-known section of Scripture. You know, in fact, this week, you know, thinking about it, and even last week as I was, or last night as I was reflecting upon it, I thought, you know, it can sometimes become so familiar that we forget about its significance. You know, it's just like, oh, oh yeah, it's a story. It becomes almost like a story in a book, you know, or a, you know, kid's Christmas pageant, this well-known story. And so last night, how many have watched The Chosen? Anybody been watching The Chosen? And so I thought I'd watch the episode of this, you know, in The Chosen, just to give me fresh eyes as we approach this familiar text. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Imagine yourself if you were back there in this time period. Imagine your reaction. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would take this text and speak it into our lives, our hearts, our circumstances right now. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, it's quite amazing that God would send the angel to the shepherds. You know how today we have an expression, he swears like a sailor? Well, back then they'd have an expression, he lies like a shepherd. Because shepherds had this reputation for lying. In fact, they weren't allowed to testify in court because of that reputation. They also had a reputation for stealing. And because of their despised profession, they were considered ceremonial unclean and weren't permitted in worship gatherings. A lot of people looked down at the shepherds, considered them the rough people of society. In fact, in the spectrum of society, only those who were lower were the lepers. But it's to this group of people that God sends the angels that first Christmas. He doesn't create a banner in the sky or some multimedia presentation. He doesn't go to the celebrities of the day. He doesn't go to the people in power, the movers and the shakers, but rather he goes to these blue-collar workers who are working the night shift. This shunned group. Why not some grandiose announcement? Why not go to the people in power? Many years ago, I was a youth pastor. I know my kids don't believe it, but I was. In fact, it was decades ago. And one Christmas, I was invited by one of the principals of a neighborhood public elementary school to come in and to share about the Christmas story. Now, some of you who are younger may be quite shocked about that, but that's how ministry has shifted. Because back when I was a youth pastor, I had an office in a public school. I was allowed to walk around the public school, meet with kids. I could gather kids around the flagpole. And all of that kind of disappeared during my tenure as a youth pastor. Not because of me, but Society shifted. But anyways, back then, Brunswick Public School invited me in to come and share the Christmas story. And so I was thinking, what am I going to do? I thought, I'm going to dress up like a shepherd and kind of tell the story from like a first person perspective of being a shepherd. So I'm doing it for the kids in the school, hundreds of kids here gathered in the auditorium there at that school. And I'm sharing. And then I asked a rhetorical question. I said, why did God send the angels to the shepherds? Now, when I ask a rhetorical question, like with you, I'm not expecting an answer, really. But kids are kids, right? So one kid puts his hands up and he starts answering the question. Why did God send the angels to the shepherds? He said, I know why God sent the angel to the shepherds. Because they were listening. I thought, the kids got it right. You know? Who does God come to? He comes to those who have responsive hearts. Doesn't matter what class of society you're from, or who you are, or what you've done. To those who are listening, God makes himself available. The angels brought a message of good news for all people. Good news that resulted in great joy that first Christmas and this Christmas also. See, you may not think of good news. You may think, I've had nothing but bad news this year. But don't let that hold you back from experiencing good news this Advent season. Joy, great joy. You might think, I haven't had much joy this year. But I say, don't be stuck in your pain and open your heart to the joy God may want to give you. Why should we celebrate? Well, the angels announced that we don't need to be afraid. Fear was a common reaction when encountering angels. We see it here in the encounter with the shepherds. Next week, we're going to look at the encounter between Mary and the angel. The week after with Joseph and the angel. And the week after with Zechariah and the angel. And we see in all four of those biblical accounts that there is this reaction of fear. And so the first four words from the angels are, do not be afraid. And he says that to you and I also this Advent season. Don't be afraid. 365 times, one for each day, it's written in this book. When God is near, he removes the fear. God brings a message of fear not. God is with you. You're not going through life alone. Open your eyes to see, open your heart to him this Advent season. God wants you to celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Christ by not being afraid and by being reminded here of this message that it's good news for everyone. The angel said, I bring you good news that will be for all people. It's for all people. It's for Christians, for not Christians, for Sikhs, for Muslims, for the agnostic, for the atheist, for the righteous, the unrighteous, the faithful, the faithless. It's good news for everyone. It's good news for you. You're not exempt. God has good news of great joy for you. And this good news of great joy is a message of peace. And we see that with this first unnamed angel who shows up to the shepherds. And the angel says, verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Angels are messengers from God, designed to point you towards Jesus. That's true as we see it in the biblical narrative, that the angels always pointed people beyond themselves to God. And it's also true for you and I, that if you have an angel encounter, like Tim or Mary last week, whether it happened in your past or will happen in your future, the purpose of that angel encounter is to point you towards Jesus. And we see here the angel gives three names for Jesus, three titles that I think all relate to this message of peace that the angels are proclaiming. So let's go through those three names. The first one is Savior. And I think this relates to peace from our past. The Greek there is soter. It means Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer. The term Savior was a very common term used back then. It would readily have been understood by everyone Gentiles and Jews, in keeping with this announcement of being good news for everyone, all people. There's one ancient manuscript that calls Julius Caesar God manifest and common savior of human life. Sometimes the term was used to refer to political leaders or military leaders. Or there's an ancient manuscripts that talk about the Greek gods and they call Zeus our savior. So this term savior is widely understood. Now the nation Israel had been waiting for a savior. And they thought of it in terms of a savior from the Roman Empire, from Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, this terrible leader and the high taxes they were experiencing. But then when the angel here announced a savior, he was talking more about a worldly, more than just a worldly leader or political head, but rather a savior who would save us from our sins, from death. We need that sort of savior when we think about our past. Now, it was a little frosty last night and this morning, right? Now, is that a sign that there's going to be snow this year? You know, who's hoping for snow? Okay, there's a few hoping for snow, eh? More kids' hands up than adults, eh? Because we know as adults, we got to shovel that snow, eh? Gord, you're not looking forward to snow. No, Gord is hoping for no snow this year. This is a big parking lot, a lot of sidewalk here, right? But when you're a kid, you love the snow, right? Because you get to play in that snow. You get to build a snow fort. And you get to play one of the games that I played with my kids. That's fox and geese. Want to put up on the screen there a picture? That's not my wife, Sheila. And I don't have three kids. That's just, you know, when I Googled fox and geese images, this came up first. And it's a simple game that in the snow, you just make these tracks, you know? And I used to play it with my kids in Calgary, and our yard wasn't that big. But I would chase the kids around after we made the pass. And so I would be the fox, they'd be the geese, and I'd chase them. And when I tagged them, then the geese turns into the fox, and they would chase after me then. You know, but as we'd play the game, I'd always notice my kids, and one in particular, would cheat, you know? You're supposed to stay in the pathway. But she wouldn't stay in the pathway. She would create her own pathways, you know? And after we had played for a while, it just became one big mess. And you couldn't tell anymore where the paths were. So we'd go inside, drink some hot chocolate, although not with the hot chocolate bombs, because they didn't have those back then. And enjoy the hot chocolate, and maybe it would start snowing, you know, and the next day, wake up, and this fresh snowfall all over the backyard, and you couldn't see any more of the mess. You couldn't see any more of the cheating, you know, or the corners that been cut. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, let's put it up on the screen, let's read it together. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. They're just like a fresh snowfall. Covers over the tracks. And we just see that new snow. God says to you this morning, are you feeling guilty? Let the fresh snow of His grace fall upon your heart. Are you feeling shame about something in your past, whether this week or last month or last decade? Let God cover you over with that fresh snowfall. Are you grieving something? Are you embarrassed about something? Jesus says to you, I give you my peace, a peace that transcends your past. I say, friends, come to the communion table this day. A place where your past is erased. Jesus was nailed to the cross so you don't have to condemn yourself. A set of nail-scarred hands is ready to embrace you today to say, all is forgiven. Live in that forgiveness. I know it's easy to say that I am forgiven. It's far more difficult to actually experience that. But you and I need to open up our hearts, our lives, to that grace in our lives. Your slate has been wiped clean. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Cherish that name, Savior. He came for you. Is your past still haunting you? Oh, let this angel song just wash over you. A song of God's peace. May you experience it today. The angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. Or some of your translations say, He is the Christ. The Greek there is Christos. It means anointed. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it was used to refer to the anointing of a priest with oil. But this person who's born here in Bethlehem is the anointed one. He has been set apart, consecrated as God's angel. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And as the Messiah, He can give you and I peace in our present times. A promise, John 14:27. I love how the Passion translates this verse. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Do not yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. That's the kind of peace that Jesus offers. It's different from what the world offers, right? The peace that the world offers is fragile, as that verse says. See, the world will offer us all kinds of attempts to give us peace. You know, it could come through advertising. They say, hey, you know, buy this product, then you will experience peace. But you ever notice that, like, the anticipation of maybe getting that product is the best part of it? And then when you actually get it, it's kind of a letdown, you know? It's not as great as what you had expected it to be. And peace doesn't come through products or services. It doesn't come through injecting something in our body. We've seen what that has done this year in our society here in the Lower Mainland. Sometimes the world tells us, well, if you just have enough money, then you'll experience peace. You know, when you have financial security, then you'll have peace. But what is that number? And don't we all know people who are wealthy, very wealthy even, but aren't experiencing peace? Or we sometimes think, oh, you know, if we're just exempt from problems, from troubles, then we'll have peace. But we know that's not going to happen here in this world. Even Jesus was troubled. He said in John 12:27, now my heart is troubled. The absence of heartaches, headaches, troubles is no guarantee of peace. Sometimes we think, well, if something comes to an end, then when that ends, then I'll have peace. But we always know there's going to be some other trouble around the corner, right? We think, well, if, you know, the baby stops crying, then I'll have peace. If my parents stop fighting, then I'll have peace. If there's no more wars in our world, then I'll have peace. But babies will cry again. Relationships will be in conflict again. There will be other wars. What brings us lasting peace? The peace that Jesus promises. And last evening, friends, as I watched that little episode in The Chosen and was thinking on this passage, I just prayed Philippians 4:7 for us as a church. That this peace that God promises would guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. A peace that's greater than anything going on in your circumstances or in your relationships at the moment. It's even greater, this peace that He promises, than life itself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a leader in the Confessing Church during the 1940s, and he opposed Adolf Hitler and his regime, and he was arrested and sentenced to die. And in the movie Bonhoeffer, Agent of Grace, there's a scene in there where Bonhoeffer is in his prison cell, and through the cement walls, he hears the fellow prisoner in the next cell crying. And he goes up to the wall, and he knocks on the wall, and he identifies himself as a pastor and assures the man that he is not alone, that God is with him. And then the muffled reply comes back, "I don't believe in God." When a German guard looks in and he hears Bonhoeffer, that he's trying to pray for the man, he says, "Hey, it's not going to do any good. Kitchener, he's going to be executed tomorrow." Undaunted, Bonhoeffer leans against the dark wall and he calls out to the man and he says, I'm putting my hands up against this wall here. And if you want, put your hands up against mine also. There's no hands. And then Bonhoeffer begins to pray. Lord, it's dark in me, in you is day. I am alone, but you will stay. I am afraid, you never cease. I am at war, in you is peace. And then we see in the movie a second set of hands slide up and join Bonhoeffer's hands. The next day at dawn, there's a single rifle shot that shatters the morning calm. And the same guard comes to Bonhoeffer's cell. He's a little less cynical than the day before. And he says, well, I thought you would know. Kitchener was executed this morning. But it surprised everyone. He was very calm. That man's circumstances didn't change, but his internal spirit did. Even in the worst of circumstances, facing impending death, he could experience peace. And friends, whatever your circumstances are, you too can experience peace. The world will bombard you with all kinds of attempts to achieve peace, but all of them will fall short. Jesus offers a transcendent peace, a peace that the world can't take away from you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, and he offers you his peace for the present, today. Experience, receive it from him. The angel said, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Lord is peace for your future. The Greek term there is kurios. It means supreme in authority, the ruler, controller, sir. Sometimes it was used on a human level when people would refer to somebody in authority and they'd say kurios as a kind of a master. But as it's used in the Gospel of Luke referring to Jesus, it's the most common term that Luke uses for Jesus. That meaning this one born here in Bethlehem is the master, the supreme authority. He is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. See, they at their political rallies back in the day, they would shout out, Caesar is Lord. And the Christians came along and said, you think Caesar is something special? No, take a look at this one who is born in Bethlehem. There is something special about him that transcends any earthly leader. Jesus is Lord. And when we experience Jesus as Lord, we can look forward to the future with hope. And we can experience his peace in our hearts and in our minds. See, friends, God has good things in store for you. It's easy to fill our minds with anxious thoughts about the future. We say, what if? Oh, man. What if? What if my health goes bad? What if I'm a victim of a crime? What if my kids do drugs? What if my parents divorce? What if? And we have 1,000 things spinning through our minds about what ifs. For me this week was, what if COVID doesn't end? And God had to deal with me on that. Because for the last almost 2 years, I've been saying, post-COVID, when COVID is over, I'm going to blank. And I had to be reminded by God, as I submitted to him as curious as Lord, that he is the master. He is the one who is in charge. He is greater. And even though I'm frustrated because I can't do what I want to do, or I'm frustrated because we can't move forward as a church how I'd like us to move forward, I was reminded by him as I was on my knees that he is the Lord. He is the Supreme One. And we bend our knee before this one who was born in Bethlehem. He is at work, he is good, and he knows the future. So I don't need to be anxious about the future. And you don't need to be worried about the future. God has your back. Is there something that's niggling in your mind. Some what if. I say today, friends, surrender it to Him who is the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, the things as God has prepared for those who love Him. God has good things in store for you. Give your anxiety, your worries over to Him. Come to Him at the communion table. Take the bread, take the cup, and drink in His peace for the future. Jesus said, my peace I give you. Isaiah prophesied about this one born in Bethlehem. And he wrote these words 1,000 years before this event in Luke 2. He said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's four titles there assigned to Jesus. And today we've been dealing with the last one, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so I say, friends, are you experiencing his peace today? Are you worried about the future? The what ifs? I say, come to him as the Lord. Surrender it to him that you may experience him as the Prince of Peace. Are you still living with the regrets of yesteryear? Something in your past holding you back? Come to him today as Savior. The angel said, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He's your rescuer, your deliverer, your forgiver. Experience that today. He is the Christ, the Messiah. You can experience his presence, his peace right now. Let's go to prayer. Let's just take a few moments of silent prayer right now. God brought you here. God has you watching right now. That you would know him as the Prince of Peace. Surrender to him. Your future worries, your past anxieties, whatever it may be, right now. Oh, Jesus, come in. Come into our lives. Come into our worries. Come into our hearts, our minds. Fill us with your peace, I pray. Amen. I invite you to take the communion elements. Those of you who are watching at home, you can join with me now. If you don't have the elements, just put your hand up and Steve will ensure that you receive them, that each of us can participate together. Just put your hand up and Steve will come around with that for you. That Jesus, this one who was born as the Savior there in Bethlehem, he not only was a baby, but he grew up. He lived the perfect, sinless life. For you and for me, gave us an example to follow. But we fall short of his perfect example. We mess up. Like my kids making those new pathways. We cut corners. We cheat. We break the relationship. And that's most of all what I see sin as. As we walk away from the relationship with God, God from beginning to end in the Bible invites us to commune, to walk with Him. But we walk away from that relationship. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. He died in our place. And so I invite you to consider him and his incredible sacrifice, what he has done for you, for me. And so I invite you to take the bread and to eat, remembering his body broken for you. And let us take the cup. The cup representing the new covenant between God and humanity. That though we fall short, His grace covers over. Though we miss the mark, He is there to forgive. And though we walk away, He comes to us. And He invites us back into relationship. So take and drink His grace and His mercy. O Lord Jesus, we join with those angels that first Christmas in proclaiming that You are the Savior, You are the Messiah, You are the Lord. And we submit and surrender to You, and we experience Your peace as a byproduct of that. We thank You, Prince of Peace, for that. Amen.